Are we good? Are we good? Are we happy? All right. All right, so we're going to move forward today. Good. So I want to share with you this idea, this notion that sometimes we feel, we all say that God is number one. Is that what we do? Is God number one? Amen. I hope you say that God is number one in your life. And but the problem is today that we push God out of number one spot, and we push him in some other things because we've lost some priorities, and we've lost some things in our life where we've kind of pushed God out. We've let other things become our priorities, and our purposes have kind of caused us to push God aside and knocked him into some areas of 2, 3, even some down into the 5, 6 position of our life. And so this is a book, we're going to be in the book of Haggai today. It is a book between the two Z books, Zephaniah and Zechariah. It's right in the middle of those two Z books. And we're going to be in there this morning. And this is the time when they began to build on the temple. And because of some enemies and a few setbacks, they kind of just walked away from it. And so God ends up talking to Haggai here about 15 years later. God's going to give them a wake-up call. And when I speak of the church, I always want to say, when I speak of the church, I speak of the church as a whole, not as just New Life, but as a whole. But I want to let you know, I want to say that if God is number one, your purposes and the places you're going to be, God's going to be a part of that. If God is number one, it needs to be where he is, where he really is number one at. Where he's at, and you're investing your time and place. It's hard to say that God is number one when you don't attend church on a regular basis. Right. It's hard to say that God is number one when you don't read the word daily. Right. It's hard to say that God is number one when you're not praying on a daily basis. Right. And I'm not talking about the rescue prayers. I'm talking about praying for other people. I'm talking about praying for situations, praying for people that you don't know, praying for our country, praying for the world, praying for all those things, and putting up others before ourselves. If God is number one, look at me, when God is number one, you'll realize that your resources are actually his and not yours. That your home is his, not yours. And God becomes number one. It's always asking him first before you before you're talking to yourself. God's people here lost their way. They can't begin to lose their way. It's almost like they're in the community in Jerusalem. They're in the community. Here's the temple. It's not finished, but they kind of walked away from it. It'd be like working on one of our houses and walking away from it for 15 years. It becomes almost like a blight, doesn't it? It would almost be, and it's kind of embarrassing, would it not be? I'd say so. There's some things that we also need to work on as well. But we need to learn to obey what God's word says. So let's pick it up in verse 2 of Haggai chapter 1. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses and this temple to be in ruins, to lie in ruins? What's happened here is it's the first time I've seen the word paneled houses in the word up to this moment here. It's almost like everybody lives kind of in mud houses, just a different thing. But, you know, this paneled houses is kind of like the new thing after aluminum siding was in. All of a sudden they came out with this thing called vinyl siding that we put on our houses. And so that is the thing that we have on our houses, most of us have on our houses today. My house still got aluminum siding on it, but vinyl siding is the top-notch piece. So if you can get vinyl siding on your house, guess what it says? The realtor says, it just made your price of your house go up. And so here it is. Everybody is working on their stuff. Everybody is working on their home. But God is beginning to say, what about my house? So God's going to share with them something. He says, now therefore in verse 5, thus says the Lord of hosts. He says this one thing, consider your ways. What he's saying is, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about your ways. I want you to think about the way you are, the way you do things. He says, so God puts it out, you have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink, and you clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. What he's saying is, he's saying, you've done all the work for yourself, and we're going to find out that God is the one who caused all that, caused some of that, all that to happen. That your money don't last. Although you seem like you make a lot, you can make a lot, but it don't last. You have food, but it's not enough. All the things that we invest in ourselves, it didn't work out the way that we thought it would. So he says in verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, he says, once again, consider your ways. Think about what you did. He says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and glorify and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much. Here he goes. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, God says, I blew it away. I'm going to tell you one thing. You cannot fight against God and win. I don't care. You cannot fight against God and win. You are not going to change God's mind. He says, I blew it away. And God says, why? I'm telling you, this is an intimate conversation God is having with his people. Sometimes God will come in and make a statement, and it will happen, and it is done and over with. There's no conversation. It's done. Sometimes you'll get, very seldom, you'll find a good, one of these intimate conversations. You'll see it in the book of Job. There's some other ones in the Old Testament. But many times, God would just say something to a prophet, and it would be done. But here's a little bit of that personal stuff that God says. So God says this. He says, why? Says the Lord of hosts. He says, because. And this is awesome. We don't demand an answer from God. That's what I'm saying. God does not have to answer us. But he says this. He says, because of my house that is in ruin, while everyone else runs to his own house. God says, my house is mess. My house is a ruin. And everybody else is going home doing all their stuff, making their stuff look good. But my house is a mess. Now we know today that God doesn't dwell in buildings and temples that are built by man. He doesn't hover in there, but he's inside of us, and we are the temple, and so his spirit dwells inside of us. But in this time, God was he wanted this temple to be right. Just like he wants us. Our temple, this temple right here, to be right. And if we're going off doing things in the world and we got bad attitudes and we're upset about everything that's going on and we got anger built up, we are not taking care of the temple. Amen? If we're not being faithful in worshiping the Lord, I'm telling you, we're not taking care of the temple. If we're not taking care, and I'm not talking about lifting weights and staying in shape, but there's a part there that we are supposed to take care of the body, the physical body, but we're also supposed to take care of that spiritual part that's inside of us. Let me tell you something. If you're not going to church on a regular basis, God is not number one. In America, because we have a freedom to assemble ourselves together under a name, his name, and worship freely. In China, it is illegal, but they still find a way to get under a light bulb on the top of a building in some attic and a 3-watt light bulb and have a little meeting. And it takes them all day to get there. We have open doors. We still can't fill parking lots in churches. If God is number one, you'll read his word on a daily basis. If God is number one, you will pray. And God is number one, you will put him in your mind. You will put him on the thoughts and the things that you do during the day. You're taking care of the temple. You're about the business of the Lord. He says, therefore, the heavens above withheld the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and on the mountains and on the grain and the new wine and the oil. on whatever the ground brings forth on men's livestock and all the labor of your hands. He said, I'm the one that stopped you from making all that funds. And when you did make it, I'd want to put a hole in your pocket so it wouldn't last. God said, I'm the one that when you went out and you worked, you was expecting 100 a fold, but you only got 50. And God speaks to some guys. And these guys get it together and say, okay, we're going to get busy about this. Now I want to remind you that in God's Word, it always seems like there's always a remnant. Praise God for the remnant, right? Here's a remnant. So in verse 13, then Haggai and the Lord's messenger spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So they begin to gather these guys up and say, okay, we need to get busy. We need to get busy. So the Lord, in verse 14, the Lord stirred up the spirit. He stirred up the spirit in these guys. He stirred up the spirit because we can't do what God wants us to until we get right with God. And God puts his hand in what we're doing, right? We're not going to impress God with what we do, but we need to do it in the way that he wants to. The high priest and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and they worked on the house of the Lord, the host of their God. They began to work on the house. They began to work on the house. Folks, I want to tell you something. We need to work on this house right here. We need to work on this house right here. But we also need to work on the physical house. This is where we come to worship. We need to work on this house. We need to be concerned. We need to be, some of you need to be telling me. You need to be saying, hey, Jimmy, when are we going to fix the ceiling here? When are we going to fix the, when are we going to put grout in the brick? When are we going to regrout the brick? God has brought many missionaries up here to do a lot of the work. But we also got to chip in and do our part as well. And sometimes, we do that, and some of these people, they take a week off of their only week of vacation, and they come up so they can bang some nails into some walls and paint and do those things. And yet we have a hard time trying to get ourselves a time to work on the Lord's house. And we need to work on this place. We need to work and finish up the women's life house with children. We need to finish that up. God knows our strength. I want to tell you, we may be small, and we may be young, and many of us may be young, but that don't mean we can't do anything. I think a lot of reason people have lost their joy of their salvation is because they're not experiencing their salvation every day. They're not experiencing the joy of being saved every day. So we lose the joy of our salvation. We get discouraged. We get a bad attitude. We get mad at everything. And we're displeased with the way things are going. We lose our joy in their salvation because we're looking too much into the world and not enough in what God's trying to do inside of our lives. Let me just tell you, America is a mess, but God is still in control. God is not on the throne with anxiety. God is not stressing. That makes me feel good. We think too much and not pray enough. And we don't listen enough. He keeps telling these men to be strong, be strong, be strong, because there was some enemies that were trying to keep it from being built. And then when they kind of got victory over that, they let the place sit for 15 years. And you know what? When you let a place sit for 15 years, you got animals living in it, you got cobwebs, you got a mess, things are falling apart. So now the work's even going to be harder than if they would have kept it going, right? And it becomes more costly. He says in verse 4 in chapter 2, yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel. Says the Lord, and be strong, Josiah, and the high priest, and be strong, all the people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I'm with you. He tells the people, it's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to get some teams together, and they're going to get that thing, and they're going to work on it, and they're going to get it done. Because they found out that because they were doing everything on their own, and for themselves, it still wasn't enough. God wasn't blessing it. I sometimes feel like there's a lot of Christians, a lot of us Christians out there that are trying to do life our way, and we're doing our thing. We'll come to church from time to time, maybe throw a few bucks in the offering because we have an attitude toward 10%. We have an attitude toward the church or churches, period. We do all of that, and we get into all that, and we wonder why our lives are not being blessed. Let me tell you what's happening in some of the churches today. Some of them are, you know, some of the pastors are out there preaching the word, and I've known this because I've talked to a few, and it really stirs my heart. It was like, and basically what's happened is a few people, when they leave in the church because they didn't like something or whatever. A lot of times it's in the pulpit, a preacher's preaching too much on sin, a little bit too much on hell, and not enough encouragement messages. And so people begin to drift away, and then there's a little conversation, and then so some families leave a church, and then the pastor starts stressing and begins to say, wait a minute, I gotta step back, and then, or the committee says, we need to cool it, we need to calm it down, because here's what they do. We're losing people. Which means we're losing money. The more ministries we do, the more of you leave. Just going to be honest. But God keeps bringing in the money to keep it going. Does that make sense? Not in the world, it doesn't. But if you know God, sometimes God says, hey, I don't want that many, but I'll take 300. The closer Jesus got to the cross, the more the disciples fled away. I'm not talking about the 12, I'm talking about all those other people. And even the closer he got to the cross, even his own disciples began to run away. So churches are out there trying to figure out, we need to keep our young people, so let's put some money into the playground. Let me tell you something about playgrounds and churches. I don't think it's nothing wrong, but I want to tell you, you want to fork over $4,000 or $10,000 to put a playground in, and the kids are only going to use it for one week, an hour or two before or after service, and then that gets old after about 6 months, and then a few kids may use it. I'll tell you, you take that $4,000 or $5,000, that $10,000, you start plugging it into where people's lives become changed. God's going to bless that. There's nothing wrong with having a playground, but if that becomes your priority, unless God has called that church to do a daycare center, a school, the playground isn't the focus. It should be a tool. Are you with me? Amen? So we have to figure this out. I said, many pastors are turning around and running away from what God's because they're afraid that they're losing people and money. When you stay on the path that God's called you, He will always be faithful. And you know this, when you are in God's will, there is no better place to be. There is no better place to be than in God's will. No matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what's going on, there is no better place to be than in God's will. Because when you're in God's will, it's as though God's holding you just like this. And He's hovering. You can't touch Him. You can't touch her. It makes no sense in the business world. This is why this calling is the hardest calling of all, if you want to call it professions in the world, is pastoring. It's preaching. Because people will try to speak into your lives all these business tactics, and sometimes it may work here or there, but it's not how God, we use our brain, we need to use those things, but in the end, God's will trumps all education. God's will trumps all bank finances. God's will trumps all man's ideas and inventions. God is number one. Amen? And if He's number one in the world, He needs to be number one in my life. And He's telling these people, I allowed your lives to be messed up in the areas where you worked so hard for yourself. I've cut it all in half that you never had enough because you let my temple, you let my important part of what I wanted you to be a part of, because when they would go to the temple and all that, what he was saying is, you walked away from me. And when you walked away from me, we're not as close as we used to be. Look at me now. Some of us have faded a little bit in our worship and our attendance. You know what it's like when you're away from God and your attendance and your walk. When you stop coming to church, you stop talking to God. You say, well, I talk to him. Listen, when you stop worshiping, you stop giving, guess what you do? You stop talking to him, guess what? You may say, I'm not, no, but I bet if you're talking at him and not with him. And there is a difference when you're talking with God than you are when you talk at him. When you're at him, you're telling him everything that's going on in your life. You're telling him all your upset stuff, and you're talking at him, and he's just being a vent for you, and not all the things that he can do for you. And there's nothing that's close. You're just yelling at him. But when we're worshiping him, and we take him serious, and he becomes number one in our life, we will be drawn to him and drawn to the things of him. If we have a meeting, we may not want to go, but we will go because he is number one. He tells them, be strong. Do the work, for I am with you. And I want to tell you, there is a joy in working for the Lord. There is a joy in working for the Lord. I'm telling you, when you swing a hammer with somebody that comes from out of state, and you're working with them, and you're doing something with them, and they're sharing with you their family, and there may be some issues in their life, and God is bringing a bondness with you and somebody else that you may never see again, but it only can be done with the Lord. We had a missionary team come a year ago, a year and a half, I think it was 2 years ago, 2 years ago. And he was a sniper for the Army. And he said, you just can't read. We brought him on this. We're not sure if we should have brought him on this because he's got some PTSD. He's got some other things going on. And he didn't stay with the group. Guess where he stayed? He went out to the campground and slept in a tent. He slept in a tent because that's what he was familiar with. He had a hard time with society. He didn't really want to come, but it was over in that corner when he began to work over up there on that balcony, back in that corner, because we had a bad leak up there, and we began to talk. And then when we began to talk and just share, because I was military, so God kind of used that, and I got down here, and his wife says, were you able to talk to my husband? I seen you up there talking to him. I said, well, we talked about a few things, and she just broke down and she started crying. My husband didn't talk to anybody. I want to tell you, when you do and you work with the Lord, the Lord's going to do more than just work. You're doing more than just putting nails in a building. You're doing more than just painting. God has got a lot more going on than what you think. God is always doing more than we see. So as much ministry as people has come here, there's a lot of ministry that has been done with them as when they left. God makes a statement. God makes a claim here in verse 8. He says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord. That's it. Everything you got's mine. You know what I say? That's okay with me. I like it that way anyway. He was telling them, listen, if I'm number one, you'll get it. He says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the host of the Lord. He says in verse 15, now carefully consider from this day forward, from before the stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord. The Lord's going to go back. He's going to remind them a little bit. He's reminding them of some things. Since those days, when one came to a heap of 20, there was but 10. He's saying, you wanted to get 20, but I only give you 10. And one of you came to a wine vat to draw about 50 baths from the press, but there was only 20. You thought you were going to get 50, but you only got 20. He says, remember, I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in the labors of your hands. Yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. The Lord is always wanting his people to turn to him. You're either turning toward him or you're turning away from him. And he says, 18, now consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth day of the month, from that day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider this. Once again, he used that. Consider. Think about this. He says, is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree? have not yielded fruit. All that stuff hasn't yielded. But now he says this, but from this day, I will bless you. He says, I want you to remember all the stuff you went through. And all that stuff, from this day on, I'm going to bless you. What had to happen for this to get right? First of all, God got in front of them and said, your way is not working. Your way doesn't work. Look at your hands. You worked so hard, you got blisters on them, but look what you can't even show what you worked for, because I stopped it from being blessed. There, you can be a Christian today and not have the blessings that you are supposed to have, or that you would have, that God wants you to have. You have salvation, you have some of the things that we have, but there are some blessings that God wants you to have, but you're not going to have because you're not doing it His way. So that had to be addressed. God in front of them and said, here it is. It's not you, you're just, I'm not blessing you. Basically, I'm just not blessing you, but you need to get it right. And he says this, you have been busy about your life and your personal things, but you have forgotten me and my temple. So I got a plan. Go up in the woods and get some stuff and get down here and get to work. God touched a few guys. They got with a remnant. And all of a sudden, they got a wave of people. They went and they did it. And God says, this is awesome. Be strong. Be courageous. Get to work. Get to work. Get to work. And they did it. And God says, now, I'm going to bless you. Too many Christians are listening to this junk about get your best life now. Let me tell you something. It isn't about get your best life now. I got my best. I got it best when I came to Jesus. It gets better when I start serving Him the way He wants me to. And I know that the best is yet to come when I get to heaven. Amen? So the work, we got to work because the night is coming. As the Word says, we got to work while it is day because the night is coming. So this is the time to get it going. This is the time for us to get busy about the things of the Lord. So I'm going to ask you before you leave today that you take a walk around, maybe inside the church, inside this, what we want to call a temple. We call it a church, but it is a place where we assemble ourselves together and look at the building and begin to pray about how we can fix some of these things in this church. I have spent too much time probably on a lot of building things and working and doing those things, and I've had pulled away from some ministry things, but I believe that is important. But we're going to have to get these things accomplished, because God's not going to let everybody else come and do it. Okay? God's not going to let everybody else come in and do it. But what is more important than this building and the temple is this temple. So that's what we're going to do here in a moment. If God is number one, and you say it on your lips, I'm going to ask you that you ask God if He's number one. Don't tell yourself, because we are good con. We can con ourselves real easy. We are very, very good about conning ourselves. We have great conversations in our mind, and they go nowhere, and they cause chaos. I'm asking you, ask the Lord, Lord, are you really number one in my life? Am I making you number one? Because if not, that's where He wants to be. You know how you get it together with that? You admit it to Him that He's not number one. You confess it to Him. And He'll have that intimate conversation just like He did with Haggai and the people. You want the blessings that the Lord has? Live as the Lord wants you to. But I don't know where each one of you are, but I do know where New Life is as a whole. We need to draw closer to Him. We need to be about His business. We need to do the work that He's called us to do. So let's go ahead, and we're going to stand and give you an opportunity. If you want to come down and pray, this is what we do.